Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning for us to be together this morning and take a little bit of time to get into God's Word together. It's always a pleasure when Elliot gives me the opportunity to be in front of you and to share God's Word with you. I want to start by saying this morning, we have a new theme for this year. Bet you can't guess what it is, right? Don't you love it when things are obvious, right? You know, that's one of those things when you're visiting with young married couples or couples who are fixing to get married, they talk about the things that are obvious, right? Let's make it obvious, communicate clearly. You know, it's funny, as much as I love my incredible, beautiful wife, she is an amazing woman. And we're working toward our 27th year of marriage. And that's not even half of what I want to be married to her. But when we first got married, our biggest arguments were over spiritual terms. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? Our biggest arguments were over spiritual terms. And we had to define those terms, right, to be clear. And so it's one of those things, you know, we want to be clear today. Romans 12, 1 and 2, living transformed, right? Hope that's big enough for you to see there. So as we get in this lesson, the first thing I want to say, though, is Happy New Year to you. Are you excited that it's 2017? Yes? All right, I love it. That's why, unless you become like the little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, right? To be excited about things. How many of you last year had a new baby come into your home? We got some hands raised, don't we? Right over here, this way. Now, how many of you are expecting right now? One, two. We have two more new babies coming. Two more new babies. Yesterday evening, I spent a few minutes with Tinley Roberts. At the hospital, you know, that's Kyle and Stephanie's new baby. And there's nothing like a baby to change your world, right? Isn't that right? It changes everything. It changes your sleep patterns. It changes the way you dress, right? That first year or so, you know, and being a minister, I remember, I'd pull out a shirt and look. First thing I'd do, look to see if there was a stain on the shoulder, right? You understand that? You know, and my wife used to call that liquid love, right? Liquid love. Baby, you got a liquid love stain on your shoulder. You got to get another shirt. It transforms everything in your life. It changes everything. We have several couples, I believe, that are planning on getting married in the next year. Boy, that's going to transform your life. You know it? On those strange things that come in, those new things, right? Hey, I saw that look, Chris. Mr. Newlywed over here. And Ashley was confirming it. I saw that look too, right? Things begin to transform, don't they? New things in our lives, but they bring excitement, don't they? So should a new year bring excitement to our lives, right? To begin new again, to be able to start over again. And Elliot was being so kind this week, and he walked in the office and said, "What do you want read Sunday morning?" And I grabbed my PowerPoint and pulled it up, and I gave that to Elliot, who passed it on to David this morning, and Romans 5, 16, 17. And then I realized, as David was reading, I told him the wrong verses. I even have it in my PowerPoint. That's actually 2 Corinthians 5, 16, and 17. Right? From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And it's funny that the Lord used my shortcoming to prove my point here. We need the old sometimes to pass away, don't we? We make enough mistakes in life. We fall. We fail. Right? And we look at things, and I had in my earliest notes talking about trying to leave addictions and bad habits behind and those kind of things. And I want to remind us that those, when we say the word addictions, we tend to think about alcohol and drugs, don't we? What about the addiction of gossip? What about the addiction of worry and stress? Because it begins to take a toll, doesn't it? It begins to change us, not in a positive way, but a negative way. And so as we look into the new year, as we begin to think about how we can live transformed, and we'll take a look at those verses in a few minutes, I think that to understand that whatever my shortcomings are, because I do fail. You know, I've had those moments while my marriage is incredible to this most beautiful woman. When she calls me, I hear her voice for the first time during the day. Because being a school teacher, she doesn't call me very often. But if for some reason she calls me, I can't help but smile when I answer the phone. And when I call her, thank you, Lord, I can hear the smile in her voice when she answers on the other end. Now, that's pretty good to be able to say, isn't it, after 26 years? I'm not so bad. But to know that from our old selves, right, a new creation comes because Christ is in us. Not by our power, but by His power do we become new. First thing that we need to do to begin to start anew, to start as a new creation, is to start confessing and accepting the mercy of God. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. We have things that hold us in this world, don't we? How many of y'all saw the New Year in last night? I'm just curious. You were up after midnight? You know what? Let me be the first to say, congratulations for making it to worship this morning. I am proud of you. That's incredible. You see there, you've already taken the first step to begin to live transformed by the power of Christ in your life. But to be able to say, because I guarantee you we have some people who aren't here this morning because they couldn't pull themselves out of bed. And if you're watching us this morning and you didn't make it, we love you. We expect to see you real soon. Because you're missing out being here with us as a family today. To see each other smile, right? But to have that opportunity, like I have had to stand with Steve, to stand with several other guys in this building. I know Brian Benton and I have had our evenings where we've stood out here for 2 or 3 hours after everybody else is gone. To have that opportunity to say, you know what, I need to do a little bit better than what I've done. Now that's me, not Brian, I want you to know, right? He's there for me. That's what I'm saying. Right, Brian? That's right. See there? But to have that opportunity to say, I've made those mistakes, whatever those mistakes are, and to leave them behind for a future that is greater. Often we in life allow our experiences to begin to pull us away from the Lord. We find ourselves running, restless, and rejected by the world that surrounds us and empty on the inside because we haven't allowed Him to begin to transform who we are. We need to start looking forward and not back in life. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Remember not the former things. Remember not the former things. Right? Remember not the former things. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And he was talking to his people, right? But the message for us is the same. Why do we have the Old Testament? Because it's the schoolmaster. It teaches us about the heart of the Father, who he is to you and I, what he wants for us for the days that are ahead. And we look around in our failings and our shortcomings and ministers who aren't smart enough to put 2 Corinthians instead of Romans, right? And, no, that's fine. Thank you for it, helping me with my point. That's wonderful. We just make mistakes, don't we? I've seen it when I've got onto my boys and I look into their eyes and I can see the hurt. Or to one of the teenagers. But to remember not those things, because the Lord wants us to look forward. And we have Christ in our lives because we've been made new. I think often he wants to say this to you. To us, to me personally. Keith, don't you perceive it? I'm making for you a way. A way that you can be more than a conqueror. A way that you can stand strong and stand right. To walk in my light, to walk in my love. To understand who I am to you. To begin to live a life that is transformed by who I am. Not by who you are. We need to start recognizing that relationship. Romans 5, 6 through 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's where I am. I was ungodly. And sometimes I'm still ungodly. And I need to go back and be reminded that Christ died for me. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners. And I think sometimes that we look around and we think, I got to get my life right and then I'll come to Jesus. I got to fix everything and then I'm going to come to God. And God says, don't wait, don't stop, you can't fix it, you can't make it right. You don't have the strength or power to make those changes on your own. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood. See, the justification doesn't come before. It comes at that moment when we're united with Christ in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. To walk in new life, Romans chapter 6 says. That's the beginning. That's the power. That's the opportunity that even though that I have done something, like if I pick up an alcohol bottle and I can't by myself let go of it, or a pill bottle, or a telephone to gossip, or my Facebook page and I can't stop my fingers from typing. Because there's where most of us live, right? We have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Have you ever felt like an enemy on the outside? If you're struggling and you don't know what it's like to have the Savior as a part of your life, you're an enemy. And he says, that's okay. Come to me in that state and I will set it right. Turn from your sins and give your life to me. And from this point forward, we will no longer be enemies. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. By your life? No. By His life. By His life. Come on. And sometimes I need to remind myself, come on, Keith, get it together. Not by your efforts, not by your smarts, not by your wisdom, but by His life. Reconciliation comes. Right comes. Power and ability to love and live and laugh and enjoy life, even though pain is present, comes when we know Christ. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And he rose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Do we understand that from the very beginning in the garden, that God's desire was to walk with us? Why? I don't know. My class this morning, right? Deuteronomy 29:29. For the secret things belong to Him, but those things that have been revealed to you are yours. I don't know why. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why He wants to walk with me. I don't know why. I mean, look at all the mistakes I make. I'm not really that smart. No amens. Rick, at least give me an amen, right? That's right. I'm not that smart. But when I turn to Him, He comes running to me. He comes running to me. He comes running to me. He comes running to you to put His arms around you and kiss you and say, "You are my child. And from this point forward, I can begin to transform your life if you'll give yourself to me." We need to start living by faith. Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Why? Because the Father is running to us through His Son. He's running to us. "Let me take you in my arms and let me put my lips on your cheek again." Do you think my 21-year-old son's too big for me to kiss him on his cheek? I might not do it in front of you. I might. But he's still my little boy. Did you see my chest puff up while he was doing the welcome this morning? Sorry, sir. I embarrass you. Start living transformed by making better choices, right? Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart in everything you do, because everything you do flows from it." Now, Romans 12:1 and 2. Here's the focus, right, for this rest of this year. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God," by the mercies of God. The God who says, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be like the preacher. You don't have to be like one of the elders or one of the deacons. You don't have to be like my perfect son. Oh, I'm sorry, almost perfect son, right? Both of them. But by His mercy, by His love, by His Son's sacrifice, because He longed to run to us and put His arms around us, by His mercies, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, to say, "I'm not perfect. I'm not what I need to be, but this body no longer belongs to me, it belongs to you." So, New Year's Eve is the only Saturday night that I'll stay up past midnight. Uh-oh, I'm stepping on my own toes again, right? Because Sunday morning belongs to you. My body will be here to give praise to you and give sacrifice to you. Not just on that day, but all days. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice. to begin to transform, right? Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewal of your mind. So I've memorized from another version. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I think often we get into the world and we start looking around. Well, how do I know? You don't know until you begin to consider your body as a living sacrifice offered to the Lord. And that begins to transform who you are on the inside, the choices that you make. And here it is. I saw a video this weekend, and it was a video that a guy had made about running the Christian race, right? And he shows all these people, and there's a woman running, and she's in a suit and a briefcase, and a man in a suit and tie and a briefcase, and they're running down the street, and a jogger in a jogging suit, and a young teenager in shorts, and they're all running. It looks like they're running for their lives in this video. And I get the gist, because sometimes in this life, that's the way we feel, right? We get up in the morning and we take off running, and we don't stop till we lay down at night. And we go to sleep for a few hours and we get up the next morning and we take off running again, right? And we run and we run and we run and we run. And you will never stop running until you take a breath and say, Lord God Almighty, my body belongs to you. Transform who I am. Help me offer myself as a living sacrifice to you. We have to start winning the battles in our lives. And the only way that we can do that is through His power. Through offering ourselves to Him, so that we can be transformed by His love. We need to surrender ourselves to His beauty and wisdom, the design that He has for us in our lives. The design formed by His hand that can and will transform us for the future, for life, for love, so that we can sing out His mercy and His greatness to all those we come into contact with. Romans 8, 31 and 32, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? All things, all things, all things. Not some things, not a few things, not this and that. And we get this idea sometimes because we feel like we're doing without, right? I need this and I need this. And the Lord says, I'll give you all things. Trust in my wisdom. Trust in my understanding. Trust in the beauty of my design for your life. It will be greater if you will offer your body to me as a living sacrifice, that I might begin to transform and change who you are to become greater than you can ever become on your own. And we sit around waiting because we want to run the race like everybody else we see in the world. I got to have my kids here because they might miss this experience. I got to have my kids here because they might miss this experience. And well, and if I don't do this, and I've got to be here because the boss is going to be there, and I need to be here because so-and-so will see me. Well, what will they think? And God sees us running, 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 and He says, stop. Be still and know that I am God. Allow my love to transform who you are into something greater than you can understand. Elliot, there's no sound. I need sound on this, please. Tom, do you know how to do that? Can you get sound on? I stood in the hospital last night by myself. The Roberts family had all gone home. And I stood over this little infant girl, Tinley. And I thought about her life, her future, and watched her struggle with the things that they have tied into her body right now. Her life will begin to transform quickly, more quickly than we will be able to see, because we won't be with her every day. But you will have the opportunity as a family, as a church family, to help her transform in the years ahead. The question is, will you be everything that you need to be in that circumstance?
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Joy, my King.
I appeal to you, my brothers and sisters. By the mercy of God, our Father in heaven and the rock, do not allow your limited abilities to keep you from transforming someone's life. Present your body as a living sacrifice to God Almighty, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your spiritual worship. Don't let this world conform who you are to its expectations, its desires, and its drives in life. But allow Him to transform you and renew who you are by His mighty hand. That by the testing of the world that comes to us day in and day out, that we as His people will be able to show the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect as His children. If we can help you set your life right this morning, by being united with Christ in the likeness of his death, burial, or resurrection. Or maybe we can just surround you, put our arms around you, and you can begin your transformation today to live transformed for 2017. Why don't you come as we stand and sing together?
Have you a heart?